thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Hello again. Welcome to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence, and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler, or your whole family. Before we get things underway, I just want to take the time to give a big thanks to my podcast sponsors, Little Dish. Thank you so much for having me. Today's episode will follow on from last week's episode, where we talked to Giovanna Fletcher all about weaning and making the most of it. Now, I know that many of you may not feel quite so confident about weaning as she did, but that's what I'm here to help you with. Weaning is all about the gradual journey of taking baby from a milk-only diet to a diet that is similar to us as adults. So moving from single foods to a complex and varied and hopefully balanced diet. What many people don't realise though is that weaning is a milestone and it needs a lot of effort from your baby's side and also patience from us as parents. It's a learning journey and just like other milestones such as walking or talking, it needs practice. It's a skill and quite a complex one at that. Babies have to learn to bite and chew and swallow while sitting still in a new environment with new utensils and with something that also tastes very unfamiliar and they've never had before. Now, a few things I really want you to know about weaning are, number one, all babies are different. There is no point in comparing them as they really do not do it all the same. I had the exact experience with my little ones. One took to weaning really easily and the other one was a little bit reserved in terms of her foods. Some take to it really, really readily and others are a lot slower with the weaning journey. So try to follow their lead. Take it at their own pace and really importantly, don't compare. Number two, it's a journey of exploring. And I love to say this, but this is not something that you or they will get right or wrong. So try to remember that throughout the weaning days with your little one, there will be some good days and there will be some less good days, just like we have as adults. So please don't berate yourself. Don't feel guilty. Just go with the flow and let them lead. Number three, variety early on is your friend. At around 6 months is actually what we call a window of opportunity where some babies are really willing to accept more and try new things. So it's a really good time to capture that. The more variety you can offer early on, the better. I'll share more tips with you later, but these are three key things to really try to remember throughout your weaning journey. Try to take those pressures off yourself and off of them and think about enjoying the experience a little more together if you can. It really can make all the difference to how they enjoy their meals and how you enjoy the weaning journey too. To help some of you feel more confident about weaning, I thought I'd take some time to answer some of your questions at home when it comes to weaning your babies.
I've been told to wean my baby early, but I'm not sure they are quite ready. What shall I do?
So something that I am often asked about is early weaning for babies. Now, quite often, people in the medical profession might recommend you wean your baby early. The one thing I would say is it's really important to get down to the nitty-gritty of why this is. If it's me, I'd be asking why they're recommending to wean early, if it's going to make a difference, if there's any need for it. The other thing I'd also be asking really strongly is if your baby is actually ready for it physically. There are three signs of readiness we like to talk about. This is that baby can sit up, they can hold their head and neck steady, they can see food, pick it up and bring it to their mouths by themselves, and they can have less of a tongue thrust reflex. So if you pop your finger on their bottom lip, their tongue will protrude out, but as they get towards 6 months, that protrusion will be a lot less. So these three things that can tell you your baby are ready, because if they can sit up and hold their head and neck steady, they can swallow food more readily. If they can see food and bring it to their mouth themselves, it means they're ready for self-feeding. And if they're not constantly protruding their tongue out of their mouth at touch, it means that they're more likely to be able to swallow that food more readily. So those three signs are really key to be able to see. And if your baby isn't showing them, I would certainly question why a baby needs to start weaning early. Quite often with some medical conditions, there isn't actually any evidence that early weaning will be helpful. Some medical professionals will have really good reasons for doing so, but it's still really important to check with them that you feel your baby is showing those three signs of readiness. It's a really good question. It's a really common question, but I would definitely go back, do a little bit more digging and ask a few more questions before you go ahead with weaning, especially if you feel they're not quite ready.
I'm due to start weaning in a week and I really want to try baby-led weaning, but I'm so nervous of offering finger foods as it seems so much harder for them. What do you advise?
So when it comes to weaning your baby, there are two schools of thought, really. There's the idea of baby-led weaning, where we start offering baby pieces of food right from the start of weaning. We let them feed themselves right from word go. There's also the more traditional approach, or sometimes called spoon-fed approach, where baby is given foods that are generally pureed or blended up off of a spoon. Now, I'm a strong believer that you don't need to have one or the other only. There is definitely benefit of combining those two approaches, because if you're combining those two approaches, baby can self-feed, they can experience finger foods, they can learn to bite and chew more complicated textures, but they can also get more variety on the end of a spoon as well. And they can also learn how to use utensils and self-feed with a spoon right from the beginning of weaning. It's also great for parents who are a little bit nervous. So just like yourself, if you're a bit nervous of going straight in there with finger food, the purees and mashes can be a really smooth transition onto weaning rather than going straight in with some of those foods. However, having said that, it is really important to offer finger foods fairly early on in the weaning journey. And the reason for this is because it helps with hand-eye coordination. It helps with self-feeding. And there is some research that actually children, babies feeding themselves early on can help them to regulate their appetites and learn how much more or less they want when it comes to food. But there's no reason why you only need to take one approach. If you are a bit nervous about baby-led, go in there, try a few foods, make the texture a little bit more complicated of some of their purees before you start offering finger foods, but do make sure to get those finger foods in nice and early on. If you're nervous, you could go on a first aid course. They do lots of first aid course around baby weaning, and it can be really, really helpful to give you the confidence to know what to do if choking did happen, for example. And also just try and experiment lots of feeding baby different textures, but making sure they're super soft. So if you have a finger food, it should squidge nicely between your finger and thumb so that when it goes in baby's mouth, they can actually crush that food easily between their gum and the top of their mouth or their tongue. Also, babies don't need teeth to be able to eat food. Their gums are very hard. If you ever get your finger stuck in their mouth, you will know that. Their gums are super hard, so they don't need teeth. And they can absolutely explore super soft finger foods at the start of weaning. But try not to put too much pressure on yourself. And the one thing you can really do is eat with your baby. They will learn so much from observation, from watching you eat. So try and do plenty of eating with your baby too.
My mother said that I should start with baby rice as it's the best thing to do. She's a health professional, but I've read it's best to start with vegetables.
When it comes to weaning, there is no wrong or right. There's no, you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. Lots of people decide they want to go with baby rice, or they might go with vegetables alone, or they might go with fruits, or they might go with curry, completely different foods. And all of these are absolutely fine. I'm a big fan of something called veg-led weaning, which is where you start the weaning journey with vegetables and you offer your baby single veg for the first week or so of weaning and a different veggie each day. The reason I love this is because it's a really good way of getting your baby to explore a variety of very unknown and unfamiliar textures early on, when they've got that window of opportunity and they're more likely to accept these flavours. So I really like veg-led weaning for that reason, giving them variety, getting them to taste something completely new, and not just offering them sweet foods, which they're more likely to accept because babies are born with a preference for sweeter foods. However, not everybody starts with veg-led weaning. It isn't for everyone. And although we have lots of research in the UK that actually suggests it may be beneficial for acceptance of vegetables later on in life, it's not a hard and fast rule that you have to follow. My only issue with baby rice, which was very, very traditionally given to babies for years, is that there isn't much in the way of different flavours in there. So baby rice is very much one flavour, one texture. And actually, early on in weaning, it's great to expose baby to a variety of flavours, a variety of textures, and get those in nice and early. So if all your baby's had for the first couple of weeks of weaning is baby rice, they're not really being exposed to that variety, which we know can be really beneficial. However, if you do decide to go down that avenue, it's absolutely fine to do so. I just say maybe try and mix up the flavours if you can a little bit. You could always cook up some veggies and add it to the baby rice to change the texture, to change the flavours up as well, if you prefer to do so. But ultimately, it's completely up to you what you decide to do.
Hey, Charlotte, I'm 3 weeks into weaning and my baby just isn't accepting anything. Should I stop and start again another time?
So one of the biggest questions I'm asked and the biggest things that come into my inbox is about babies not taking to weaning. I think part of this problem comes from the fact that we often see so many babies readily gobbling up foods like broccoli and spinach and potato and avocado in those very first weeks of weaning. And we have this idea and this expectation that actually that's how it goes for everyone. But in my experience, as someone who speaks to parents every single day about this topic, that most often isn't the case. Some babies take to weaning, yes. Some babies love food right from the start. Other babies are a lot more reserved and a lot more unsure about weaning, and that is perfectly normal too. Remember that this time is about exploration. It's about exploring food. It's about exposing your baby to these new tastes, these new flavors, these new textures. And at the same time, we have to remember, as I said at the very start of this, weaning is a skill. Babies need to learn to accept those foods. They need to learn how to bite and chew and swallow. They need to learn how to use cutlery. They need to learn about this new environment in this new high chair at this new table. So we need to try and be a little bit more patient, because quite often some children are just slower to start, and that is absolutely okay. I definitely wouldn't say you need to stop and start again. You've not done anything wrong. Carry on with what you're doing with the weaning journey, but there are some things that might help. So for example, try and make sure you're sitting with your baby at mealtimes and eating with your baby where possible. Try not to put pressure on getting them to eat up. In my experience, what sometimes happens is when babies don't take to that food, parents often put a little bit more pressure on. Perhaps they load the spoon and they try and push the spoon into baby's mouth. And actually that can make the mealtime environment a bit of a negative experience for them. And then the knock-on impact to that is that they don't really want to be there for the next meal. So take the pressure off you, take the pressure off them. Try and think about getting them to explore food. Maybe you want to try some really soft finger foods and some light purees off of a spoon so that baby can explore one way or the other and see what they feel like on that day. If you've started with veggies and they haven't really accepted them, move on to more variety. Start offering more in the way of foods. But really, really importantly, make sure you eat with your little one. The other thing you can have a look at is their milk intakes. Are they filling up on milk just before those mealtimes, or are they having a huge amount of milk throughout 24 hours, which means that actually they don't really have any appetite for food? Or are they distracted? Are they teething? Are they unwell? I promise you, there are so many things that will affect your baby and your toddler's appetite when they get older. And it's about trying to put things into context, not worry, take the pressure off, try and relax for those mealtimes, and really importantly, show them how to eat by eating and enjoying foods yourself.
Hi Charlotte, how do you really know if your baby is getting all the right nutrients they need?
So this is a really tricky one. And most of the time, we don't know that baby is getting every single nutrient that they need. However, one of the things we do to try and combat this, whether it's with adults or whether it's with babies or toddlers, is we look at what we call a balanced diet. Now, I know this is a boring message, but the idea behind a balanced diet is to make sure that adults and children can get the right nutrients every day by balancing out the different foods that they include on their plate. So from when your baby is on about 3 meals a day, when they started to accept plenty of foods in their diet, what you need to do is try and offer your baby a balance of food groups within each meal. So what this means is, number one, starting with something like whole grains or carbohydrates at their mealtimes. Number two, trying to include some veggies or some fruits at that mealtime. Number three, trying to include some proteins or some iron-rich food. And number four, maybe including a little bit of dairy. You don't need to do a lot of that, because actually their milk will be providing most of the calcium that they need, but providing a little bit of dairy in their weaning diet is a good idea too. So just to go into a little bit more detail about that, if we're talking about carbohydrates and whole grains, we're talking about things like breads, pastas, rice, maybe things like couscous in their diet as well. When we're talking about things like fruits and veg, it's things like carrots and broccoli and peaches and watermelon and lots of variety of different fruit and veg. When we're talking about protein and iron-rich foods, we're talking about things like lentils, beans, pulses, nut butters, also meats and fish and egg as well. And when we're talking about dairy, we're talking about plain versions of yogurt or cheese or milks or dairy alternatives. Now, it's really important to remember that baby gets most of their milk from either their breast milk or their formula milk, and that's recommended right up until baby is 1 year of age. It's only after this age that they should switch to cow's milk, or they can continue breastfeeding as long as you want to. So you don't need to focus a lot on dairy in their diet, but you can include a small amount of dairy or dairy alternative foods. But ideally, they should be plain, and if they are dairy alternatives, they should be fortified too.
My baby gets upset whenever I put them in the high chair. What can I do?
So this is another really common thing. If your baby is getting upset when you put them in the high chair, you need to take a step back from the idea of feeding and step back from the idea of getting them to eat and think about the environment around them. What's going on? Is it the right time of day? Are they overtired? Are they overfull? Are they distracted? Are they going through milestones? What is going on in this environment right now? Because perhaps maybe it's the wrong time of day. I remember for the very first time getting back from a day out and trying to feed my baby, but it was far later than what I normally would. And I remember him being so tired. And I remember thinking to myself, this is exactly why we say don't try and feed an overtired baby. He was screaming, he was crying, and he just was desperate to get out of the high chair. If your baby doesn't want to be in that high chair, definitely take them out. Try not to keep them in a high chair when they're upset and they're not enjoying their time, because it's going to have a knock-on effect to how they feel the next time you put them in. So if you're finding you've got into a bit of a habit of that, you put them in, they start crying, we need to try and change up that mealtime. We need to try and change up that environment so that they understand maybe that going in the high chair doesn't necessarily just mean food. Maybe it means fun. So you could perhaps put them in there to play a game with you. Make sure that when you put them in the high chair, you're giving them plenty of attention and eye contact. Perhaps you could play some music when you first put them in, or give them a toy to play with before the mealtime starts. Also, try and remember about taking that pressure off the mealtime. Perhaps instead of feeding them, you could sit there and feed yourself and let them watch and observe you. Just take the pressure off and just try and make your baby want to be there before you start focusing more on getting them to eat. It's really common and it can happen a lot, but you just need to think about the environment and how you can change it up.
Hi there, I have a question. I have a 9-month-old who is really loving her food at the moment, but her milk feeds have significantly dropped since she started having solids. And I just wanted to ask you, is this okay, or should I be trying to encourage her to have more milk? Thank you so much.
So it's actually really common for some babies. I know we've talked a lot already about some babies not taking to weaning, but the other option can be true as well. Some babies really take to weaning and they are loving their food and they're really not that interested in milk. The first thing I would say is this is usually a bit of a phase. It's usually a bit of a novelty where baby's gone, oh my gosh, I'm loving this food. I'm going to gobble it all up. Ah, bored with the milk. I'm not interested anymore. If that is the case, keep offering milk at similar times each day. When your baby first starts weaning, it's not actually about dropping their milk feed. It's about introducing them to food and helping them to explore food alongside their milk intake. Their milk intake normally starts to drop between about 10 and 12 months of age. Sometimes it's a bit sooner, sometimes it's a bit later. It really varies from baby to baby. But if you're finding that their milk intake has dropped substantially before 10 months of age, then I would keep offering it at similar times each day. You might find they do just come back to it. And if you're struggling with that, make sure you get their weight check so you know how they're doing and how they're growing and how they're developing. But you can also try adding it into their food. So for example, if you're making purees or mashes, you can add milk into that. If you're making soups or stews or pies, you can add their normal milk. You can add some full fat cow's milk is okay to be added to baby's food from 6 months of age. Or you can add express breast milk. So completely up to you, but just try and make the most of the meals that you're adding and offering plenty of extra milk within those feeds. But like I said, most babies do start to drop at around 10 to 12 months of age. You'll start to see quite a bit of decline in the amount of milk that they're having. It's still an important part of their diet, even over 1 year of age, but it just means that at around 10 months of age, you'll see food start to take over a little bit more.
Hey, Ishala, my son is teething and completely off his food. I want to know, should I keep trying or is it best to skip a couple of days?
So when your little one's unwell or teething, it's really normal for them to go off their food, just like we as adults might not want to eat if we've got a sore throat or a headache or a stomach ache. We go off our food. And unfortunately, babies often can't express to us what it is they're feeling. But if they're teething, if they're feeling unwell, their appetite is likely to take a dip. So the main thing I would say is try and understand that that is absolutely perfectly normal. And actually, even more than that, it's expected. So don't put pressure on them. Don't put pressure on yourself. You can keep trying with routine and mealtimes if you want to and just see as and when they get better. But try not to have much in the way of expectations of how that meal is going to go or that food is going to be eaten. One of the things I would do and a tip that I often share is if your little one isn't feeling well, try and stick to a similar routine each day, but maybe just try a really small amount of food. You could always keep some food back and have some food that you put on their plate so that you can keep the food that hasn't been touched and hasn't been eaten for the next day, or even freeze it and try again another day. If your little one's really unwell and in a really bad way and they're falling asleep, of course, skip meal times and try not to worry about it. But if you can, try and keep that routine up so they don't get out of the habit of having it, as long as they're comfortable to be there in the high chair. And like I said, just take the pressure off you, take the pressure off them, and expect that there's going to be a few days where the food doesn't really get eaten.
I'm so scared of choking that I haven't offered any finger foods yet. My baby's 8 months. Will I have impacted his development?
So many families are nervous about choking and they're nervous about offering finger foods, and it's completely normal. Lots of parents don't offer finger foods till later in the weaning journey, so don't worry too much. We do know from research that actually it's really important to try and be offering lumps and bumps and finger foods by at least 9 months of age. The reason for this is because it's a really good opportunity and time for baby to be able to explore those lumps and bumps and learn what to do with them. So in terms of developing their oral motor skills, having them introduced earlier on in the weaning journey can be a real benefit. And babies who don't get that exposure of finger foods and lumps and textures in their food can actually be a little bit delayed in their acceptance of these during the rest of their weaning journey. So for example, they might struggle a little bit more to take finger foods, or they might struggle with some of the more thicker or harder textures of foods. However, it's not that you are going to impact their development really badly, especially at around 8 months. The main thing I would say is try and boost your confidence, do some first aid training around weaning so that it gets your confidence up. See if you can have other people around you when you do offer finger foods. And like I said, make sure they are roughly the size and shape of an adult finger, and that they are so soft that when you squidge them between your finger and thumb, they go really nicely flat. If you're offering baby finger foods like that, they can grab them through the palm of their hand and they can self-feed with them really easily. And their tough gums and their tough tongue will be able to crush those foods really, really simply. If you're still really worried about finger foods, focus a lot on the textures of the foods they're having. So make sure that you've moved on from thin purees onto more mashes and textures that have got lumps and bumps in them, because this will help babies to develop those oral motor skills needed for having finger foods as well. But soft finger foods alongside some textures and starting them around about now will be absolutely fine. Go nice and stealthily and gradually, but it is a good idea to get them in their diet if you can.
Hey Charlotte, when do I start introducing utensils?
So there's no hard and fast rule with this. Again, a lot of parents who've done baby-led weaning will actually find that they haven't introduced utensils to their baby for a long time, and all of a sudden will think, oh my gosh, when do I need to start offering spoons? But actually, if you do kind of mixed approach where you offer baby some pieces of food and some finger foods alongside some food off of the spoon, then I would say start introducing that right from the start of weaning. Both my children grabbed that spoon off of me, out of my hand, right at the start of weaning and started self-feeding. So the earlier you can get them to do that, the earlier you can get them involved in that self-feeding and grabbing the spoon and using the spoon to get food into their mouth, the better. So do try and encourage it early on if you can. When it comes to things like forks, I'd say as soon as your little one is really confident using a spoon, and it can take a long time before they learn the action of things like scooping out of a bowl. It takes lots of practice. It takes lots of role modeling. It takes lots of guiding to get them to be able to use the spoon efficiently. And as soon as they do start to be able to do that, you can start moving on to some kind of soft fork where you can just help them with a little bit of stabbing of the food. Once baby's one plus, you can start moving on to a bit more of a variety. And again, once they've got really good skills around their hands and coordination around chopping and different textures, it's really about exploring those with babies when it comes to knives and forks. You can get really good baby friendly ones as well that can help with that. But just remember that most babies develop these skills at totally different stages to one another. So it's more about giving them the opportunity to try after about 1 year of age, helping them, showing them, letting them see you doing it yourself, and just give them plenty of time to explore it. So there's no hard or fast rule. Introduce it when you feel comfortable and when you feel like your baby is ready and confident, and just give them plenty of support in getting used to using them. I hope these really helped. To finish off this episode, I just want to share a few of my top tips around weaning. Number one, try to have a routine. It can really help with food acceptance. Number two, try to eat with them. I promise you they will learn so much from watching you eat. Number three, Make those mealtimes enjoyable. Forget about the food and think about the environment and what your baby's going to enjoy at mealtimes. Number four, avoid pressures to eat. Pressures to eat have time and time again shown that they actually reduce the willingness of little ones to eat that food. Number five, go with the flow. Try to let them lead those mealtimes as much as possible. It's really important for their weaning journey. Number six, expect appetite variations. Up and down in appetites is completely normal, and we really would expect that to happen during weaning. Number seven, keep up that variety. The more variety you offer to babies from a young age, the more variety they're likely to accept as they get older. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really hope you found it helpful and reassuring, and I hope it's given you plenty of confidence to start the weaning journey yourself. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you found it helpful and reassuring, and it's given you confidence to start your weaning journey or continue your weaning journey with your little one. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast to get the next episodes straight to your phone. And a huge, huge thank you to my friends at Little Dish for sponsoring this podcast and for letting me use their beautiful offices here to record them in. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.